First, I'd like to thank you for letting me have this opportunity, as well as for leading the song that you so aptly led. Thank you very much. As you can well see, I don't have a PowerPoint. I'm not that sophisticated today. So if you are listening or you're here, you might want to have your pencil and paper ready. I know you may not, but that's all right. So just follow along the best you can. I'll try my best to repeat the scriptures at least twice. That way you can get to that as fast as you can, and we'll try to get there all together. Now, there's a couple things, and that is, have you ever seen a child get disciplined? Yes, you have. I'm sure you have. If you've not been a child yourself, I'm sure you have been. And in some ways, you have been disciplined in some ways. If you're here today, you have been disciplined. Because that means that you have had an opportunity to see what's right and wrong, and that's why you are here. There's several ways of looking at the Bible. One of those is you got this discipline and you have the carrot. Or you have the stick and you have the reward. Whichever way you want to look at it, yeah, I'm mixing terms that you understand. How do you look at the Bible is a different way, depending on your maturity. When you're 5, you sometimes learn to sit down gently after being disciplined sometimes. And sometimes you learn that you want to do something because you get a reward. You got something sweet? Oh, yay. So there's a couple ways of looking at the Bible. In total, it's a thou shalt not this and thou shalt not that, do that. Stick and carrot. Today, I want to look at the carrot. Everybody has their own levels of maturity. Sometimes you see the Bible as how not to get to hell. I don't want to go there. How many, you know, don't raise your hand, just in your mind. When you first heard this gospel, and you first heard and learned that you were in jeopardy, did you say, oh, I want to go to heaven right away? Or were you thinking, wait a minute, I don't want to go there. Hell was a place that I did not want to go to. That was my primary point. I was motivated more by the stick. Every person is motivated a little differently than the next. It also depends on your maturity level, like I have said before. I'll give you another example. I was leading singing one day, and got the Lord's Supper song right before the Lord's Supper, and it was a sad song by most ways and most accounts, but I was smiling. I had a big old smile, and I was just, where was on my mind? Now, I had a brother come up to me, and a sister, both. Daryl, that was inappropriate. You were smiling up there when we were singing about the crucifixion of Christ, Lord's Supper. And I thought to myself, well, wait a minute. I was smiling because I'm saved. I was smiling because I knew that Christ suffered and died for me, and I was willing, I was given the opportunity to have salvation. That put a smile on my face. Where was my level of understanding? My level of understanding was one place. The brethren who came to me and said, you're wrong. They were in a different place. Each one of us sees things from different perspectives based on our maturity levels. So, in that way of thinking, we could see the Bible of do this, don't do that, and all that kind of stuff, or we could look at it this way. The Bible is a roadmap to get to heaven. And what are we supposed to be looking for when we look for heaven? Heaven has been described in lots of different ways. And one thing we do know is heaven is, well, I'll tell you what, there are some religions that want you to believe that heaven's here on this earth. I'm going to tell you, I found out that one of the reasons why Jehovah's Witnesses come to you looking at your door is because they're looking to see what house they're going to have when this whole thing is all done. Your house is their target. They want to have some because you're going to be gone, and they're going to still inherit the earth. Well, that's not what I see in the scriptures. So let me ferret out the thought of heaven. What should we be looking for? Is your maturity level trying to get away from hell? Well, that's fine too. Because you're getting away from hell. you're going the right direction, aren't you? You're going towards heaven. So either way you look at it, you're going the right way. But not all roads lead to that same place, does it? Now, there's another concept. Oh, we'll all get there. Well, we'll talk about this afternoon, if you dare come back. So if you would, please. And by the way, have your fingers ready, because we're going to go through quite a few scriptures. Main text for right now, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'll tell you right away, I stumble over my tongue and words sometimes, and I'll flip my chapters and verses, and I'll correct it. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'll say, blah, 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 and I'll flip it. So be patient with me, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. For you know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed in our habitation from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee, so that we are always confident, knowing that while we are here at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. I'm going to stop right there. If you like this life, you're going to live this life without thinking about the Lord. But what does it say here? Absent from the Lord? If you're wanting to be with the Lord, your maturity level is different. You should be gaining towards, I want to be with the Lord. Let's continue on. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we must make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to that which he has done, and whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are all well known to God, and I also trust are well known in our consciences. I want to stop for a moment. God's love, right? Well, guess what? That's our this afternoon's lesson. But then why would there be a terror of the Lord? We'll get about that too this afternoon. Okay, so you could have fear and obey. Or you could have love and obey. Different maturity levels. God has promised us a place of rest. And this is where we're going to start looking at what heaven is. Now, I don't know about you, but already this morning I've heard about people in this congregation talk about their ailments. I don't know about you, but I enjoy pain. No, not really at all. Pain's a motivator. Not always what you want, but it is the prod that helps you do what you ought to do or something different. And so God gave us pain. But if you enjoy that, then you go ahead and stay right here. If you don't enjoy pain, oh, how about hunger? How about sorrow? And the announcements I already heard, people being passed from this life. As you already all well know, sorrow about losing somebody is a selfish deal. When I lost my brother, I had a lot of heartache. Why? I was selfish. I wanted my brother to be with me. I wasn't selfish. I should have been unselfish. I should have been saying, my brother's body was not doing well. My brother was in a lot of pain. My brother did not do well in this life physically. Right now, he is not in pain. He tried and strived his best to be what Christ would have him to be. My sorrow is my selfishness. So when we're talking about this heaven, we're understanding we don't want to stay here. It's this pain that God has given us to be able to know
We want something better.
Let's look at what some of the things that heaven has to hold for us. God has promised us the place of rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 4, 1 through 3. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel has preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. We who have believed to enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Brethren, we have to understand and have faith in what we're doing. God has promised us a rest. Count on it. There are days that I've turned over in bed and I've thought, I got to do this. I got to do that. Have you ever done that? Or maybe you just didn't get sleep last night because you're, oh man, I got to do this. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you, I have a problem. My brain sometimes just goes and goes. And especially when the preacher's going and going and going. And my brain's going somewhere else. I had to figure out a way how my brain had to stop that. So I have a little pad of paper. Almost always with me. So that during a sermon, if my brain starts going, oh, I got to do that. Stop. Write it down quick. Close it. Now I can pay attention. I had to find out some way so I could pay attention. Everybody's a little different. But that's how I did it. Are you paying attention to heaven? Are you paying attention to this world? If you're not focused, get focused. Another one. In the end, when you're standing before the judge, make sure you have other people around you that you have helped get there. If you haven't helped other people get there, you haven't done your job. That's a concept we're going to be talking about this afternoon as well. John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse 4. Jesus understood the pressing need of getting others to there, to heaven. And he understood that it is coming very quickly, that you won't have that opportunity. That person you're wanting to help get to heaven may not be here very much longer. Or maybe you're not going to be here very much longer. You don't know. Jesus, John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him who sent me. While it is day, the night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus knew that he had a very limited time, and so do we. When I was about 18, 19, there was a man that was working at the Texaco station down the street from my house. And he and I got to be pretty good friends, and I thought, okay, I think the next time I'm going to go, I'm going to talk to him about the scriptures. Well, every time I thought about it, okay, about a month goes by, and I get the courage up, and I go talk to him. And I get to the station booth, and there's somebody else there. What happened to John? Oh, you didn't hear. He died. What? He was only 29. Yeah, he died. That still holds and haunts me today. That I waited and missed an opportunity. How many of you are missing opportunities? I know I do. We all need to be focused. Take your pad out. Focus. Get focused. We must work with all of our might because we can't work after we're dead, after we're gone. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there's no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. You can't take it back. We have a one-time shot. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. We have to also make good use of our time, and here's another one. See then that you walk circumspectly. Now stop. I don't know if you know what circumspectly is. I had a hard time with it. It means walking, turning around. If you're a soldier, If you ever watch them, they're literally turning around and look behind them all the time. They're looking around. As they're walking forward, they're looking around themselves. That's circumspection. So we, as Christians, need to be looking all around for what? Not only opportunity, but also for danger. Satan is always there wanting to stab you in the back. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Also, Revelation 14, verse 13. Revelation 14, verse 13. We have some. Our efforts shouldn't be considered burdensome right now. Have you ever heard the terms or the phrase, do your work now and then you can play later? That's a concept if you're not well, let's put it this way, if you've not learned that concept, you tend to have difficulty in life. Do what's needed first and then comes play. That's what we have here. Revelation 14, verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. What does that imply? That you can play today? Or do you labor today? If you don't labor today, you're not going to have rest later. That's the implication. Here we go. Another one. In heaven, what are we going to find? No conflicts. No getting worn out. No pain, hunger, sorrow, sleepiness. You ever watch a kid try to stay awake because they wanted to stay awake because they just did not want to go to sleep? Mm-mm. Yep. And then as we get older, we just don't want to wake up. So we find that heaven is a place we want to get to. And by the way, if you want to know, is it easy to get to heaven? Or is it easy to do what we're supposed to do? If you think it's easy, you need to read Romans 7. Romans 7, 13 through 25. Please write that one down. Romans 7, 13 through 25. This is where Paul is describing he should be doing something different than his body wants him to do. Paul's admitting his own physical body tempts him to do things that he ought not do. It's not easy. This is labor. We must labor to get to heaven. Revelation chapter 21. Last book in our scriptures. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. Chapter 21, verse 27. But there shall be by no means, enter in it in the... But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How would you like to go somewhere where nobody's wanting to hurt you and everybody wants to love and you have got good everywhere and all around you? We talked in class about setting the table before your enemies. And that you, as a Christian, your enemies are all around you. In Psalms, they were talking about Psalm 23. How God presented the table for him to sit and eat at with his enemies all around him. No fear. But in heaven, you won't even need to consider there's somebody's the enemy next to you. There's no tears in heaven. You know that song, No Tears in Heaven? Almost there. My brain's a little odd because songs go through my head every time I hear a little phrase. Oh, there goes another one. I have to stop and no, get back to focus. So no tears in heaven. Then we find that Revelation chapter 21 again, verses 3 and 4. Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Imagine that. No hunger. We see that in Revelation 21 again. If you like Revelation 21 or want to know about heaven, there you go. Revelation 21:6. He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give the foundation of the water of life freely to him who thirsts." We will no longer thirst or hunger. God will provide it all. We will have no hunger, no thirst. The water of life. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Verses 1 and 2. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." God provides everything. No darkness. Drop down to verse 5. "There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Can you imagine the concept that the Catholic Church has put together of purgatory? And to acquire money and funds, the Catholic Church. Oh, you can buy penance. You can pay for that person to get out of purgatory. It's just money. That's all it was. It was a money scheme. Hebrews chapter 9. Now I say this because those who died in sin, well, their loved ones didn't want them to get to hell or go to hell. And so, hey, I like that idea. I'm going to pay and help them get out of hell. There's that purgatory. Well, let's Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 27. 9:27. "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." What? No purgatory? Huh? No. You're dead? That's it. Now you have judgment. The day of judgment is the next thing. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no purgatory. Please do not take that concept. It's wrong. While on earth, people live and die on earth. We have sadness. And I rightly so will say that when I see a funeral of a non-Christian, there's a lot of sadness. I've talked to some doctors and nurses in the hospital, and they will tell me that those who are Christian, now, understand, they have a different view of what a Christian is, but what their point is, those who are dying not as a having hope after this life. There's wailing in that room. There's the person dying clinging to life and scratching and clawing to hang on to what little bit of left of time they have. And yet, those who have hope are, "Let me go. I want to go home. Let me go." I will tell you, my Nana, my grandmother, she hung on to life for one main reason. That's for my cousin and I to get to her side. And as soon as we did, it was a 2-hour period, and she was gone. She wanted to leave, but she was hanging on just to say goodbye to two of us. Brethren, we don't have much time. You might be 16, you might be 66. In the scheme of things, how long is that life compared to the eternity of heaven? It's not. This world is not our eternal home. This world is not my home. Sometimes in the shower, you know, I get those songs, and this world is not my home. It goes right through my head. And I just kind of shower a little longer because I'm still singing. Brethren, we have mansions ready for us. As we already read in 2 Corinthians 5, we have a place prepared for us. Not this tent. This tent stays and it disintegrates. It becomes dust. Live with Christ now. And then you can live with Christ for eternity. If you don't want to be with Christ now, you surely won't be with Him later. Think about that for a moment. If you're not striving to be with Christ now, you won't be striving to be with Him later. You'll want it later, but He'll have none of it. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verses 3. Let's go through 8. Romans 6, 3 through 8. Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him through the baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. If you can't envision yourself living with Christ, and you cannot envision yourself striving to be with Him, and you don't want Him to come right this moment, you better reconsider things. Heaven will not be waiting for you if you don't want to be with Him right now. And if you're fearful of Christ to come right now, reconsider how your life is. God watches over us, and not that Bette Midler God is watching from afar that was so popular a few years back. That's blasphemous. God is not watching from afar. He's sitting right next to you. He's watching you when you're alone. He's watching you when you're in public. He's always watching. He's always there. Chapter 23 is in my lesson of Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me to the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is with you everywhere and every place you are. Whether you want Him to be or not, He sees you. Now, do you want His help or do you want His condemnation? How much do you want? Where's your maturity level? Where's your focus? There's a time for change. Job, if you want some wisdom, the beautiful evidence of evolution, How is it that Job talks about the dinosaurs? Well, let's see, the dinosaurs came before them. No, not true. Job is a study in science, if you really want to know, and study of how God deals with man. But in Job chapter 14, verses 14 and 15, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service, I will wait till my change comes. You shall call, and I will answer you. You shall desire the work of my hands. Job is waiting for God. He's looking forward to it. There's an appointed time for change called death, this physical death. I like how Job says change, because we say, did that person die? We are our language, we send to, wait a minute, if they're spiritually dead, that's horrible. If they physically died, okay, that might be okay. But I like the word change, because you're changing from a physical now to a spiritual. I think Job has it right. We are strangers here. There's another song for you. We are strangers here in a foreign land. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. And I see we're not going to get through all 42 pages of notes. Not really 42, I'm just playing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Behold, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Just like Paul was talking about in Romans. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, we talked a little bit about who's going to be in heaven. Let's consider that a little bit more. In our today's society, everybody gets a participation award. Everybody gets a participation award. Yeah, you're good. Yeah, you got all F's, but you graduate to the next grade level too. Is that fair? Is that fair? Well, now we talk about you get to hurt feelings and all that. Now, there's a controversy about that. But when we talk about spiritual things, think about this for a moment. Now, yes, I'm going to go to the very far extremes. So please, if you're going to throw fruit at me, make sure it's not canned. Would it be fair if Hitler got in right along with you to heaven? You understand Hitler is the personification of evil as we know in our century. Hitler, oh, he's evil! But wait a minute. He's also going to be right along with the person who's not a Christian, but lived a real good life. A man down the street passed away about 3 years ago. I tried to talk to him about the gospel. He says, up, hold it right there. God knows I'm a good man, and that's good enough. The day he died, I felt so sad. I tried. He wouldn't have anything of it. Brethren, it's fair to get to heaven. Fair means that you are doing your best to get there. You earn. No. Did you really earn it? No. Here's the point. Christ gave us the sacrifice so that we were given the opportunity to accept that gift. Now, if we choose to live and accept that gift and do what we ought to do in this life, and we work and we want to do the labor that God would have us to do, is it fair that the other people that don't get the same reward? No, it's not fair. So no participations awards in God's kingdom. Heaven has only winners. Do we all deserve it? I don't. No, I'm far from deserving. But I thank the Lord that Christ saw fit and God saw fit to give me a plan, a map, to get to heaven. This thing called the Bible is our map. Brethren, we cannot sin willfully, and we cannot do all the things that our flesh would like us to do, or Satan would have and tempt us to do, and still get to heaven without Christ and God's grace, sacrifice, and without our labor. Calvinistic viewpoint. Oh, all you have to do is believe. We just throw out the book of James. Yeah, we don't need that. Brethren, when Paul preached the whole gospel, he didn't pick and choose. He gave them exactly what they needed to hear. The good, the bad, the oh no. Brethren, we need to self-evaluate ourselves. Is our goal heaven? If it is, great. Be focused. And no, it's not going to be a participation. Ah, my dad, I know he's here, so I'm going to be in it. Open those pearly gates. Yeah, I got my ticket. My dad was. Oh, no. You are going to answer for you. Heaven holds good for those who win, not participate only. God's grace. God's grace gave us what we need to do and what we need to know to get there. James, oh, not Calvinistic here. James chapter 2, verse 18. James 2, 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works, by my labor, by my trying and striving to do what Christ would have me to do. Brethren, are you? Each of us will answer for our own. Are we striving to be mature like Christ? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Ephesians 4, 13 through 16. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Stop right there. You don't have knowledge if you're immature. The little child says, oh, there's a hot stove there. Mom and dad always, they do something with it. I'm going to go touch it. Psst. Now they've gained knowledge. They're a little wiser. You cannot have wisdom without having a furtherance of knowledge. So is your knowledge furtherancing, if you would? Continue on. Knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Christ is our goal. Verse 14. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness and deceitful and plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is in the head, who is at the head, Christ, verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective work by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I don't know about you, but for me, I used to, and I still have the struggle of, oh, I'm not, I don't have that talent. I don't have, boy, I look in the mirror, oh, I don't have that good looks either. That's okay. I'm part of a body, and I have a part of the body that I have a task. I use my skills to the best I can to the furtherance of Christ's body. I had a brother one more time. I'll give you another story. A brother came up to me one Sunday after worship and said, I need to apologize to you. For what? I was 19 at the time. I said, okay. He says, I've thought very poorly of you, and I've said things about you to others, and I'm asking your forgiveness. I said, okay. He says, because I didn't see you going from house to house teaching others like the rest of us do. But then I learned that you were going to the rest homes and spending time with the people who were in the rest homes suffering. and giving them encouragement. And when you're a teenager going to a rest home, that was one of the things my mom and daddy taught me. You go do things that no other people might want to do. And it will show. And those older people had such a beam on their face when I walked into their rooms. Just having some time with another Christian. Somebody who seems to care. We pray for people from the announcements. How much do you care? Hopefully there's people here that will have that skill or that ability to go visit those people. Everybody needs somebody. So whether you have the skill to preach, whether you have the skill to go teach, you have the skill to go visit, you have the skill to go pray with somebody, you have the finances to help somebody, we each use our labor for the furtherance of God. And if you don't want to be near God or Christ, you certainly are going to be missing out when the day of judgment comes. This world has so many flaws in it. If you can't see it by now, you haven't been having your eyes open. Are you going there? Are you going to heaven? Are you following this map? Refer that once again to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 9. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Brethren, where is your focus? Are you wanting to have God with you? Are you wanting to see Christ? Are you wanting to have God and Christ return? Those are some issues you need and only you can take care of. I don't like leaving an opportunity, so I'm going to take this opportunity. Hopefully you know the steps of salvation. If you don't, let's go over them. If you do, this is a good review. Romans 10, 17. First you have to hear. Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, but I'm deaf. I can't. Now listen up. We're talking about understanding, aren't we? You need to understand the word. You need to hear it. You need to have exposure to it. Next, believe. Mark 16, 16. Mark 16, 16. Put that in your head. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Oh, see that right there? All you have to do is be believed. No, that's not what that said, is it? Next, repent. Repent. Repent for what? I'm good. Think about that one for a moment. Acts 17, verse 30. Acts 17, verse 30. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Repent of what? Your sins. Repent of your life. Repent of your old man. Three more, if I may. There's five, but then there's that sixth one that we need to talk about as well. Confess. What am I confessing? We'll find out. Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me, who's me? Christ. Me before men, him I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. You could also stick in that feather cap of knowledge, Romans 10, verse 9. Baptism. There's a movement today, brethren. You don't need baptism. You do not. Oh, let's start off by calling it sprinkling. Okay, well now we don't even have to do that. Brethren, it says be baptized. Don't have somebody tell you, oh, you don't need to be baptized. And expose it. Say, hey, that's not what the Bible says. Call them out. Acts 2:38. No, that doesn't mean weapons. Yes, the humor is that you have an Acts 2:38, and that's what we're talking about. But that helps my brain. See, I use different symbolisms to help my brain go, Acts 2:38, oh, yeah. But what does it say? It says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Now, the Baptists would have you say, oh, you can get baptized just because you already believe. You're already saved. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. And the last one we don't usually consider. We got those five for those salvation. But the last one is faithfulness. That's the main hard labor. Hebrews 10:22. And this will be my last one for you. I haven't had any cans of fruit and vegetables thrown at me yet. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having your hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, that our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Brethren, that's the hard labor. Getting to heaven is hard, but we can do it. We have a map. Drop down to verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. So you've seen brethren who've fallen away. Those are the people who are willingly, forget it, I'm just going to keep saying. But a certain fear of fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries, those who are against God. That's my lesson. Is heaven your goal? Is heaven a place you want to be? Is Christ someone you want to be with? If not, why are you here? Brethren, don't fool yourself. The day of judgment, you're going to have people standing next to you. Or should I say kneeling next to you. And they may very well say, why did you not? Oh, that's that song again. You never mentioned him to me. There's going to be, maybe, hopefully, maybe not. I hope not. But I know there will be for me. Why didn't you mention him to me? You need to spread this joy, this hope of heaven to everyone. That's what this whole thing of Bible is all about. It's getting to heaven. If you have a need to obey the gospel, or you need the prayers, you've had something bothering you that you just can't seem to shake, and you need the prayers of the congregation, you need the help of brethren, whatever your issue may be, please do not hesitate. You don't have 5 minutes from now. You can't guarantee that. Now's the time to do something about it. If you have a need, come forward as we stand and sing.